Spirit. And so this morning, we've got someone from our congregation. Some of you already realize this, but we know that there's others here today that maybe this is your first time here. We've had others that have been sharing, and Rafael Santana is going to share with us this morning. He is the head of our men's ministry. He ushers. He's been serving here. The Santanas have been with us, I think, for about 15 years or something like that. And we've just enjoyed having them, not only me being their pastor, but friends. They're our friends. And Raphael's my friend. And he's going to come and he's going to minister. So let's just welcome him as he comes. Amen.
Praise God. He's so good. Amen. Isn't he good? Amen. My God is so good. I'm excited because I get to share with you a little bit about what God's put on my heart throughout this year. It's been a rough year. Has it been a rough year for you? Okay, we're not going to compare, okay? I'm not going to tell you my stuff so you can tell me your stuff so we can feel bad about each other. That's not what we do here. We give God the glory, amen? Amen. And he has been faithful. Amen. And even when we're not faithful, it's all right for us to say it. Even when we're not faithful, he is faithful. Even when we stop believing in a merciful, loving God, he could say, well, you said it, but he's so compassionate, so loving, that he still moves on our behalf. He still heals, he still saves, he still restores, even though we give up in praying, because he is faithful. So for me, this year, the Lord has put on my heart that I just need to know him more and more. That should be everybody, right? I don't think that I'm a special person. I don't think that God talks to me and doesn't talk to you. I think that when he speaks to his body, yes, we may have different missions. We may have different plans. God has different assignments for each and every one of us. But if we are a body, and the word of God says that we are a body, and we need each other, and we honor each other, then we will do what God has called us to do. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to share some scripture with you, and I'm going to pray that I can just step out of the way. I really need to be out of the way this morning and let God just speak what you need to hear. So if you could agree with that, you say, Lord, I don't want to hear Ralph this morning. And I'm not trying to be super humble. I'm just trying to be real. I don't have what you need this morning, but God has it. Amen? And he wants you to receive it, and he wants you to leave this place built up in the word of God. Amen? And that's the most important thing. I'm learning. Is it right for me to say that? I'm learning. It's not on past experiences. What I did 2 years ago to receive a victory is not enough. It's the word of God. And if you honor it, and you bring it in, and you let it do the work that it's supposed to, you will be unrecognizable sooner than later. People will see in you something that they've never seen before. Amen? So I'm going to read this scripture and then we'll see what happens. Amen. Praise God. Worthy, Lord. In Galatians 2:20, Amplified Version, I'm reading. Yeah, I'll read from here then. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, lives in me. And the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in, by adherence to and reliance on and complete trust in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. This whole message is going to be about in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're forfeiting so much. I could be a Christian, and I could try to do things on my own, and I could have a family history of everybody being a Christian, you know, but it doesn't bless me as if I make that personal decision to take off, right? I'm crucified with Christ. I make that decision to be buried. It's no longer what I want. It's no longer what I desire. It's what Christ desires in me. And there's no better thing. And for some people, it's a bad word for us to submit. But for us to get where we need to get, for us to do what we need to do, we have to submit. We have to let the Holy Spirit guide us, lead us, correct us. And if we do that, then he'll be glorified, and it's always pointing to the Father. It's always pointing to God. It's never pointing to man. It's not pointing towards a church. It's not pointing to a ministry. It's pointing to God Almighty. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And that's what happens when we're in Christ. And so we don't want to be preachers, and we don't want to be praise and worship leaders, and we don't want to fill all these positions if at the end we're not looking like Christ. Because the reason he saved you, the reason he saved me, is so that we would be baby Jesus here on earth. That we would be as Christ was, right? As Christ is, so are we on this earth. Amen. That's what the Word of God says. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, "But it is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, and has consecrated and anointed us, endowing us with the gift of the Holy Spirit." So this is God's plan. And you know what? Sometimes it's good to know where things originated from, right? You know, because we can have good plans and we can have God plans. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of good plans that fail. And with God's plan, they never fail. God plan, he knows the end from the beginning. And when he declares something, he knows everything we're going to have to go through before we go through it to receive it, and he still says it. He told his disciple, "I'll see you on the other side." And they were in the boat, and what happened? And they feared because they forgot the word that God gave them. He said, "I'll see you on the other side." And many of us have to remember that God has declared a word over your life. And it doesn't mean you're not going to go through the storm. It doesn't mean that you're not going to feel the consequences and people making bad choices and life getting harder and harder and people being so cold and hating. And that's what the Word of God says. At the end, this is going to happen. People are going to grow cold, and they're going to be lovers of self, and they're going to do all these things. And we can't be moved by that because God has spoken a word. And if you receive one thing, receive this. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's forever settled. So I can receive a doctor's report. I can be in an accident. I can have people tell me so many different things, but God. And if he becomes my final authority, and if I say, "God, be God in my life," I don't know how you're going to do it. So I'm going to share with you a little bit about my testimony. About a year ago, and I've spoken to some people, about a year ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And the doctor said it was just all over, and he showed me the grass. It was all over the prostate. It was just engulfed in it, the whole thing. He says, "But Ralph," he says, "what's bad is that it actually got out of the prostate and it went to your bone, and you have a cracked bone and the cancer's in the bone." And so I said, "Okay, doc, you know, I have a good doctor. I respect him as a person, as a brother. He's a believer." And so I said, "Whatever you say, doctor, I'm going to follow through, you know, as much as I can." But I had already determined in my heart, I'm not doing chemo. I'm doing certain things because I want to give peace to my daughters. Because I wanted to, you know, this is just something that I learned from my brother John. I'm going to give you. John, very dear friend, MacArthur, he's not here right now today. But he taught me so many things. And the one thing that I learned from him was, for the love of our family, sometimes, even though we're built up in our faith and we can believe for God, we have to do certain things to provide them peace. Because it makes no sense at all for me to have all the faith in the world and it destroy my family. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we're not all in the same place, so we have to encourage them to come there, and we do that by the way that we act and react to certain situations. So I said, "Lord, as much as I can, I'm going to do what the doctor says." So we did radiation, and from the very first day doing radiation, they were getting mad at me because I told them, "Is it showing you that I'm healed already?" And I'm serious. I'm not. Every time I go in there to get radiation, I tell them, "Can't you see that I'm already healed?" And then one time the doctor says, or the person doing the radiation says, "You don't understand. We don't see any of that. until 3 months after we're done with the radiation, we don't do a scan to see if the cancer's still there. He says, so, you know, you can believe whatever you want. He told me like that, but, you know, we can't see it. So I said, okay, well, he says, you're about to see a miracle, and I would tell them that. I am a miracle. You're about to see a miracle. I told my doctor, you're about to see a miracle. And so it's so important. It's so important. Don't worry about people. Don't worry about what they're going to think about you, because they're probably thinking silly things about you anyhow. Right? They can think whatever they want of me. Am I a fool? Oh, absolutely. I'm a fool for Christ. And I said it years ago. I said, if God can't keep me, I don't want to be kept. But I know he can keep me. I know he can keep me. So since I know he can keep me, I can be bold in my declaration and then let God be God. That's all I'm asking you to do. Declare what the word of God says over a situation and watch God be God. He's not a man to lie or a man to change his mind. He is faithful. And that's what I confess all the time. My God is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those that love him and keep his command. He is faithful. He just needs us to come alongside of him and give him glory and point people to him and let God be God and do only what he can do. Amen? So after I went through the radiation, I had to wait 3 months. And then at the end of 3 months, you know, but before that, they do a blood test because they want to make sure that all the stuff that they're doing, all the medicines that they're giving you, is not messing up your kidney. It's not messing up different parts of your body. So all the results kept coming in, and everything was good. I mean, it was better than good. You know, the doctor told me, he says, Ralph, you got your miracle. He said, just like that, you got your miracle. The cancer is gone. The bone is healed. And we're talking about x-rays that they're showing. The cancer is gone. And then the PSA level was another thing. From day one, I was diagnosed, and it was at 28. It went from 28 to 17 in 1 month. And then from that month to, I think from January to March, it went from 17 to 7 point something. And then afterwards, it went down to 1 point something. And I just had my annual physical, and they're saying it's still below zero. Below zero. He says, I can't ask for more. The oncologist said, I can't ask for more. Everything I'm seeing is so good. You have no problems with kidneys, nothing. And all that to say that if we dare to believe God, and I know in this world it's hard if you try to do it on your own, but allow the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit is there for you, to remind you, to tell you, to encourage you of the truth of God. And it's always pointing to God. And then we give him the glory. So again, I just had about a week and a half ago, I just had my annual, and everything is great. You know, they're just saying, you know, that hopefully the PSA level will come up just a hair. He says, because your body is still not producing the testosterone because of all the medicines they gave, the side effects. But that has to go also. Has no choice. It doesn't matter to God if you have a cold, a fever, pneumonia, cancer. Doesn't matter to God. Sickness is sickness. And it doesn't belong in a child of Most High God. It doesn't matter. What matters is what we can believe. And in this society, we've made cancer a big C. When there's only a big G. There's only a big God. And all the C's and all those other things that you want to put them down here where they belong. They've already been taken care of. And so what I say is, we don't ask God to do something that he's already done. Amen. And we don't ask God to do something that he's told us to do. Okay? So he's already taken care of the sin problem. But along with the sin problem, he took care of the sickness problem. Because sickness is a byproduct. A byproduct. It's because of sin. And so because the root cause was taken care of, and by his stripes, we were healed. We are healed. And now it's just us. And I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying it is God's will He never wants anybody to go to hell. He never wants anybody to be sick. Why? Because he proved it on the cross, right? He didn't endure that so that we would have to go to hell or so that we would have to be sick. So we have to settle in our hearts that what? That God is the final authority in my life. And people can choose whatever they want. But we pray for them, right? We pray for people to believe the truth and not what the enemy wants to throw at them. Because the enemy can only do this. He cannot kill you. And I say this all the time. The enemy cannot kill me. If he could, he would have. He would have done it long ago when I was backslidden and I was in drugs and I only had my mother's prayer keeping me. If he could have killed me, he would have killed me. So he can't kill me. What he can do is he can distract and he can lie. So don't fall for the distraction. Don't fall for the lies. We're going to go through stuff in this life. In this life, you will have trouble. It doesn't say in this life you will be sick. It doesn't say that. In this life, you will have trouble. And those troubles come because you choose to live a life unto God. And people are going to hate you because they hate the word in you. So that's the troubles we're going to have. I'm fine with that, right? Are we fine with that? We got to be fine with what God has said is going to happen, because if we don't, then we're not living in the reality of God. And he says, I'm telling you this so you'll know you're going to have trouble. He didn't say you're going to be sick, because he took care of that. Amen? And so for us, it's to fight the fight of faith. And I tell you, we may have issues and we may feel things. And I heard somebody say, you know how we can shut off sometimes our senses, right? We have senses, right? Hearing, seeing, smelling. And sometimes we can ignore certain things. Well, even pain, and it's not easy. Even pain, we could tell pain, shut up. Shut up, pain. Shut up, pain. Wherever it is, shut up. You're just a liar. You just try to confuse. I know who I am in Christ. I'm a new creature. New. He didn't rebuild me. He made me new. And if you could believe that, then all these things that we're going through, we can decide once and for all, and then we'll have to make the decision every day. But we make that decision from the point that we are new. Not because I said it, because the word of God said that we are new. Amen? So I thank God for the healing. And I thank God for the opportunity that I have in witnessing and encouraging, hopefully, other people to believe God for it. And so with that, it led me to something. And I know God never gives us something just for ourselves. When he gives somebody a gift, a talent in the church, what is it for? Edification of the church, right? So when God does something for you, your testimony, yes, it was because God wants to show his faithfulness to you, but it's for someone else to hear and believe. And what God will do for one, he will do for all. And what God won't do for all, he won't do for one. He's not a respecter of person. But the enemy will tell us, you are the special case. The enemy will tell us, you did this and this and this. And so this is the only way it's going to work out for you. But Jesus paid the price for all the mistakes we could ever make if we just believe and accept him as our personal Savior. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says, NASB says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then verse 21, it says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, and that's a scripture that we have to get. that because what Jesus did on the cross, I'm no longer liable. Courts have no case against me. It's already been settled. God received that punishment from Jesus Christ. He received that as payment, full payment for my sins and my sicknesses, for your sins and your sicknesses. So I don't say I'm a sinner saved by grace. I don't say that anymore. I was a sinner saved by grace. I was, because that man has died. Amen? And so we have to watch what we declare, because sometimes we speak things. There's a duplicity about us. We say one thing and then we say another. And one thing cancels out the other. So Holy Spirit, help me speak truth in my life. We can ask that. We can ask the Holy Spirit to help us, make us aware of what we're saying, what we're believing, what we're trusting God for. Because again, some people are trusting God for something that God's already told you what to do with that. Speak to that mountain. Speak to that mountain. He's given you all authority through Christ Jesus. He seated you on high with Jesus. So now he's expecting for you and I to take that authority and do something with it. And what do we do with it? We read, and we know it's not God's will for any to perish. So we can pray boldly for co-workers. We can pray boldly for neighbors. We can pray boldly. And I'm going to share a testimony. My wife, she had an uncle, and he was all his life a drunk. His mother passed away, and he never recovered from the death of his mom, and he became an alcoholic. And so he had to live with the family. And I don't know how old he was when he passed away. I remember that we got a call. We're living in Pennsylvania, and he was in Long Island. And they said, he's in the hospital. He's not going to make it. And I was complaining all the way through. I was saying, Lord, I don't want to take a trip to Long Island, you know. But we took the trip, and we went over there. And so we're in the hospital. And again, God is so good. Even when we don't even think. God put it on my heart, and I'm telling you as honest as I can, I didn't do it because I wanted to. It's just something that God just prompted me to do. So I went to him and I spoke to him. And I just told him, you know, that God loves him. And I told him, you know, Miguel, you know that if you don't accept the Lord as your Lord and Savior, then your destiny is going to be different from the rest of the family. Because we believe in the Lord, and we believe he's our Savior, and we believe that he loves us, and he wants us to be with him forever. And so I spoke to him, and I don't even remember the words. I just remember that he started crying. And then I remember, and I invited him. I said, Jorge, Miguel, do you want to accept the Lord as your Savior? And he said, yes. And I walked out of the room, until this day, it just moves me. Not even a minute went by, maybe 30 seconds. I went out of the room, and he passed away. He passed away, and then nieces and nephew come in, and they're crying. And they're saying, oh, no, we didn't make it. We didn't make it in time. And I says, what do you mean you didn't make it in time? He says, we have been praying that God will give us the opportunity to talk to him. And I said, because you prayed. God used even me. I'm telling you this because you could be even me. You could be that person. We just have to realize God doesn't want anybody. And so we can look at somebody's lives and we could discredit them and say, well, they've gotten what they deserve. But you know what? God has never, ever given me what I deserve. Never. I'd be in hell. I'd be in prison. I used to tell the inmates when I worked in the prison, I said, the only difference between you and me, I had a praying mother that even when I wanted to be lost and drunk and messed up, God had a better plan. And God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith, and he believed. And so my mother would pray, even at a young age, she would say, if he's going to pass away, Lord, take him now. I was just telling my girls, I didn't have that boldness to pray like that over my kids. My mother did. Every night she would come over to me and she'd say, If he's going to depart from you, Lord, take him now. And when I got older and I understood that, it moved me. My mother loved me so much, she would rather my life be shortened here on earth so that I would be in eternity with her and with my Savior, the lover of my soul. I love God. You understand? I love God. I love him. Why? Because everything good in my life has been because of God. Everything. So when I remind myself of God's goodness, I say he deserves more than what I'm giving him. But with the Holy Spirit's help, I'm going to keep moving in. And I'm going to keep believing. And I'm going to keep trusting. And the only way we lose is if we give up. He's made us to be more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. So he won the victory. Like Pastor says, Tyson knocked him out and Tyson's wife gets the check, right? Right? A great illustration, right? Jesus was beaten beyond recognition. He was torn to pieces on that cross. And we get to receive what? The goodness of God. The blessings of God. The anointing of God. Everything that Jesus did was for our benefit. Amen? And so we have to be grateful. Amen. And if we're grateful, you know what? We're able to expect more. You see, if you're not grateful, gratefulness is such a great thing because it prepares you to receive more. But if you're grumbling, you're complaining, and if you're just thinking of the things that you're waiting for God to do because you've been waiting for years and years and years and years, then you're going to feel cheated. And you may even believe the lie of the enemy. And the lie of the enemy to Eve was, if you take this fruit, you'll be just like God. And his lie is, he told her she'll be just like God, but God says, in my image. And he created her, Adam and Eve, in his image already. So they were like God. But the devil comes to you and I, and he gets us to believe that we don't have what God's already told us we have. So we spend lots of time and lots of energy in trying to obtain something that he's already given us. And he's given us all these things through the cross. Amen? Now, is there something that we have to do to obtain them? Absolutely. Because some people say, well, you know, I accept the Lord as my Savior, and, you know, I'm still having all this. Well, yeah, because you have to every day decide to walk and not to offend the Holy Spirit. It's so impossible. It's so hard and easy. If you're not careful and you can offend the Holy Spirit, because again, the Holy Spirit is holy. Do you understand that? The Holy Spirit is holy. And he's the one that's helping us live out this life that God, but if we shut him up, and we ignore him, what happens? Then we may go, we may do things that he would never approve of. And so for us is to be subjected, to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, correct me. Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit is so precious. Amen? And so we have to give him that respect. And then if we do that, then we're able to receive from God all his goodness, because those things are done. But we have to actually get to choose and pick. Yes, it's a table, buffet table. God's prepared before us. But you still get to choose. And that's why there's some people, again, that, you know, they die before their time. There's some people, even Christians, that certain things happen that I can't explain to you, because all I can say is we have free will. And God never takes away that free will. And they can be saints of God, and we can be saints of God. And if we're not careful, we'll believe a lie of the enemy that will get us to believe something that God never intended for us. And so if we're not careful and we're looking at past experiences as a roadmap to get us to where we want to go, we're going to fail. Because past experiences is not your roadmap to the victory that Christ has set you up for. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. It better line up with the word of God. It better be what the word of God says. Because God in his mercy, and we don't see the whole picture, you know, he may have answered a prayer because, so, but we think that we're right on track and we did that 5 years ago. It's going to happen again. So I'm just going to encourage you, stick with the word of God. You can't fail there because it's going to correct. It's going to lead us. It's going to instruct us. And then the only time we lose is when we get out of the word. Isn't that something? The only time we lose is when we give up on God, when we say, well, it's not going to happen for me. But as long as we're trusting in Christ, we are victorious. Ephesians 2, 4, and 6, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So I'm going to encourage you that that should be your confession. And again, as Christ was, so am I in this earth. And if I truly believe that, then I will be able to do what God's called me to do. You will be able to do. There is no super apostle, super preacher, super teacher in the body of Christ. They're sons and daughters of the living God. And he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And Jesus was revealed to destroy the works of the enemy. And the world is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. They're waiting. What are they waiting for? For little Jesus to walk out and show them. For you and I to go out and live the life that God's called us to live. So what? So they could believe, so they could receive God's goodness. They're waiting. And you have the answer. And I have the answer. And so, yes, we go to people to help. We ask for them to pray for us because it's biblical, right? If anybody's sick. But at the same time, we can believe that the life that God has given me is more life that I need, is abundant life. And so if I believe with all my heart, and I've seen it happen, haven't you prayed for somebody and they received something, healing? Amen. And that's the will of God. And we shouldn't expect it to be hit or miss. God is not a man to change his mind, a man to, you know, to break his promise. These signs shall follow them that believe. You'll put your hand on the sick and they will recover. So we have to believe this. And in the church, there should be a difference between the world. And as the world sees that difference, they're going to want what we have. Amen? And that's why the enemy's fighting us so hard. That's why, because he's okay with you going to heaven, just you and your family. You see, he's all right with that. He doesn't want you to go out to the world and set them free and break those chains that God said you can break because of the Christ that's living in you. And that's what the devil doesn't want. So I'm going to encourage you to believe what the word of God says. He didn't give us all that he gave us just so we can come to church once or twice a week. He gave us all that he gave us so that we would impact this world, so that we would go out and we minister to the world, what? In love, in peace, in joy. You know, you can speak to that mountain, but you have to believe. And so don't worry about, you know, some people say, well, you know, I want to know that it's going to happen when I do it. Well, you're never going to know unless you do it. And so, again, Pastor Jay always says, you know, shoot for the bullseye. And don't worry about it. We're aiming for the mark. The mark what? What the word of God says. We're aiming for that. And religion will tell you, but you better be careful because it's going to look funny if this and this doesn't happen. That's religion. Amen? I say, let's forget about religion. And let's present the gospel. And let's live out the life that God has called us to live out. So what? So we would shake this world to its core. And people would have to make a decision. Why? Because they've encountered a living, mighty God in us. But they're not going to do that unless they have a a choice to make unless they see something different than what they've been seeing. And you know what? God is moving throughout the world. I don't know if you know it, but everywhere I look on Facebook, everywhere I'm seeing this revival in different countries and young people, you know, in high schools praying. And for us is to get excited. For us is to know that God is faithful. He's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. He's not wanting that any would perish. But we have to come alongside of him. And we have to declare what he's told us to declare. So what? So nobody that would be saved would be lost. You understand what I'm saying? That if they had the opportunity, they would choose. But they're not having the opportunity because they haven't heard. So we have to speak. And not in just words, we speak in our lives. We go and we love people. We go and we if they're mourning, we grieve with them. We comfort them. Jesus was a man of compassion. Everything he did was because of what he felt. And so it's all right for us to say, Lord, I need to feel what you feel for the sinner. Because, Lord, I don't feel that in myself. But I know that I need to feel what you feel, Lord. So, Lord, so I need you to give me one more soul. I remember they're talking about a great man of God, and he would pray that every day, Lord, I need one soul. And every day he would ask. And that was the thing. And he would go to the park or he'd go somewhere and the Lord would bring somebody so he could minister to. But that was his desire. We have not because we ask not. So we can ask. And there's nothing wrong. We can ask for a big house. We can ask for a better job. We can ask for relationships. You know, we can ask. But we need to ask for heavenly things. God told us to ask, to declare. Amen? And then this way, it's not our lives only being blessed, but it's the lives of everybody around us. Amen? John 17:5 says, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." So that scripture tells me that while Jesus was here, the glory he had in the beginning, He wasn't working in that while he was here on earth. He took the form of a man. And yes, Jesus was the Son of God here on earth, but he didn't use his deity. He didn't use all his power. So sometimes we say, well, Jesus did all that he did because he was the Son of God. But Jesus did all that he did to prove to us what we can do as a son and daughter of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our example. So again, if we believe as Christ was, so are we. We shouldn't have a problem. If Jesus said that I could do this, then I could do this. And that's what we have to work on. Our confession, our belief, our imagination. I see it. I see what? I see people being healed. Because I'm walking in the knowledge that I have the living God living in me. And sickness cannot stay around. And I'm moved. And so I don't have to hear from God a specific word. Pray for this person. I look upon them and I see them handicapped. I see something. And I know God's will. His will is for that person to be healed. Ralph, how can you say that? Because of the cross. His will is for everybody to be healed. So we're moved with compassion and we pray. And we pray with the knowing that the life that Jesus put in us is in us for a reason. He says, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. Why is he going to give us power if we're not going to use it? So he's given us power. So we go forth and we declare only what he said we can declare. Amen? We don't, $5 million this year. I need $5 million. You know, we could declare a whole bunch of things. No, we're declaring what the Word of God says. And people will be healed, will be saved. And I've seen it. I've seen it in my life. A drug addict come into a church service and leave that same night completely clean. It's too late for me not to believe. But I still have to work on my faith. We've not arrived yet. But we're striving. Why are we striving? Because he deserves the very best. It's not to please anybody. It's that I know that what he did for me, It'll take all eternity for me to say thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I could say that, but if I don't do anything to back that up, then I'm just speaking words. So I'm trying to every day, right? Lord, I need more of your word. And I want a revelation of your word, Lord, that yes, I study it, but Lord, that you deposit, open my understanding, Lord, that there's something in there that's not allowing me to receive the truth, that it would be broken, Lord, and I would receive the truth so I could walk in the truth. And that's what he wants for all of us. That's not just for leaders, for pastors. That's for every son and daughter of God. And the confession that I make, I'm not the son of God, but I am a son of God. And you could say that. I'm not the son of God, but I am a daughter of God. Know who you are in Christ and declare to that situation what you believe. And that situation is going to have to change. It's going to have to move. Why? Because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. Forever settled. So that's the scripture that I have to. Lord, your word is forever settled. Forever settled, Lord. I just have to come in agreement with it. And if I come in agreement with it, I can experience what God said I could experience. But I have to determine his word is forever settled in heaven. Doctors make mistakes, as good as they are. Technology, equipment makes mistakes, right? Haven't we heard that? There's a glitch, an x-ray machine or whatever, you know, and people are tormented because they think they have a disease and, oh, it's just a mistake. My God doesn't make mistakes, amen? Amen. He is faithful. He is true. He knows it all, right? Most of us hate a know-it-all, right? I love my know-it-all because he's not holding back. Whatever he can tell me, he tells us, right? He wants us to press in. He wants us to know, to hear what he's telling the body right now. But we have to ask. John 17, 20 says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Wow. That's the Father's will. For us to be one with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for us to be one. And then for the body to be one. And so if the enemy can't disrupt the oneness of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, he's going to try to disrupt the oneness of the body of Christ. And so it's our job to protect, to honor, to cherish. No, you can't talk about my sister that way. She may not be perfect, but she's my sister. You can't talk about my pastor that way. He may not be perfect, but he's a man of God. And I love him. Declare those things. Put out that fire right away. Don't let the enemy come in and start these little distractions, because that's all they are. They're lies. But he does that. Why? So the unity is broken. And God wants us to be one. I was sharing with someone, I said, you know, in the body of Christ, when that oneness is the way it's supposed to be, God can give me a vision, a message. And because there's unity, I have people that are going to come alongside of me and they're just going to want to help, because they don't have to be the one that God gave it to them. They just want to be in that fellowship, knowing that they're being obedient to God. But when there is, when that unity is missing, what happens is now somebody has a vision from God and they say, oh, I want to do this. I want to go do outreach and this and that. And some people say, well, that's not what God put in my heart, so I'm not going to do anything. And they're perfectly fine with saying that. What I'm saying is, I had a friend of mine, short, and he was atheist. Wow. He was atheist, but he's a very good friend of mine. His name is Joe Folletta. And in the Bronx, I used to live in Long Island. I go to the Bronx an hour away. And as a young man, I just felt in my heart that I wanted to bless the church, so I would do work. I would do, you know, whatever needed to be done in the church, I'd just go do, donate some time. And my friend Joe, when he found out that I was going to the Bronx, he said, Ralph, I'll go with you. I said, really? Why would you want to go with me? We're not getting paid. He says, no, I'll go with you. And he told me something. He says, Ralph, if it's important to you, it's important to me. This is an atheist. And that's always stuck with me. If I love somebody, what's important to them is important to me. Amen. If I love you, you share what God's put on your heart. And I'm going to see how the Lord wants me to come alongside with you. Why? Because I love you. But if we just think about ourselves, then you know what? Then we won't get there. Then everybody has their own little thing, and the work of God is not carried out the way he wants. Amen? And that's for us to be in unity. I'm running out of time, so I'm going to read Matthew 28:18. And it says, And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So Jesus is reminding his disciples that God gave him all authority. And he told them afterwards that we could ask anything in his name and the Father would give it to us. So you have to believe that. All authority was given to Christ. And then now, after the crucifixion, we were seated with Christ on high. So what does that mean? That we can declare with all confidence what he's told us to do. So what Jesus was doing before the cross, that's what we need to be doing. He said, now I'm going, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. And we heard, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll receive power when you receive it. And so that's what we need to be doing. And we need to be encouraging each other. So when you talked to each other, again, how's the weather? Yeah, that's good to talk about that stuff. But what is God doing in your life? What do you, motivate each other to what? To the goodness of God. And watch what God will do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to encourage you today to look over scriptures that we've mentioned. The oneness of Christ. That is the will of God the Father, Son, for us to be one. Yes, with him, but with the bodies, with each other. And so if we honor each other, and we respect each other, and we cherish each other, then we will grow together. We will grow together, and we will accomplish what we could only accomplish as one, as Christ said. But if not, then we will make this road harder than it has to be. And the victories won't be as great, because God has given us a roadmap. And if you ever try to do it different than this, you're going to fail. I'm sorry. I've done it. I thought past experiences was, if it happened before, surely I can make it happen again. That's a lie. The Word of God is the final authority. And so I encourage you to, I'm going to close with this. I remember a long time ago, I was reading the Word of God, and I would read it all the time. But I was going through a dry spell, dry. I would read it every day, and I'm like, Lord, I feel bad. I know I'm supposed to be enjoying this, and I'm not enjoying it, Lord. It's just so dry to me. And it was almost a year went by. I don't know why I went through it. I just know that almost at the end of the year, it like opened up, and I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm receiving now the way I'm supposed to. I'm expecting to hear from you. But so we may go through dry spells, but don't be satisfied with that. Push through it. Recognize that there's something wrong with that. This is life. This is power. This is not a book of traditions, a book of history. This is life. And if you want to live the abundant life that God has promised you, you better stand on the Word of God. Better encourage you in the Word of God. And then push to receive those things that he said are yours. Because again, he's already given us everything. The word of God says he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So for us, it's just to walk it out. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless you all. I want to encourage you, if you have prayer, come up, because we have people here that believe. And that's all it takes. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen? And so we pray, and God answers. That's just the way it works. Don't ask me about all the other stuff. God is good. Amen? God bless you all.
Don't you appreciate Brother Raphael? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me? You know, the thing I appreciate so much about Raphael is his heart. He loves God. He loves the Word. He loves people. And, you know, we never want to end a service without giving this opportunity. And you might be here today and you'd say, I don't know God. I don't know Him the way I want to know Him. I've never received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve punishment. But the good news is that Jesus, God, became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. So that if we would put our lives in His hands and receive Him as our Lord and Savior, He bore as the God-man, He bore the sin and the punishment that you and I deserve so that we could be forgiven. And so if you're here today and you're not absolutely sure whether or not if you breathed your last breath or if your heart stopped beating that you'd be in the presence of God, you're not absolutely sure that you're forgiven, you can be sure. John the Apostle said that you might know that you have eternal life. And the way we know it, or the reason we can know it, is because it's not based on us earning it, because we can't earn eternal life. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that we receive from Him. And so if you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you be so bold? Would you have enough guts? And I'm not going to make you come up, but would you have enough courage to just lift your hand so God can see it at least, so that we can all pray together and lead you into a prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lest there be even one here today and you've never received Him as your Lord. Don't be afraid. Have enough courage to say, I'm going to lift my hand because I know I need Jesus in my life today. Anybody at all, lest there be even one here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior. All right, that invitation still stands. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I've been away from God. I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I've been what they call backslid away from God. I've not been living for God, and I know I need to get right with God. I know I need to surrender once again. I need to rededicate my life to God because I've been what they call backslid away from God. If that's you, would you lift your hand? We're all going to pray together, and we're going to help you along the way. Anybody at all? I see one hand. I see two. Anybody else? You know that you need Christ. I see three. To just rededicate your life to Him. All right? Praise God. Let's pray this prayer. And those that raise their hands can pray it with us. There's some that probably should have and didn't. You pray this prayer if you mean it. Just pray it. God in heaven, I thank you that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe that with all my heart. And yet I've turned away, not lived for you like I should. And so today, I dedicate afresh my life to you, Lord. I believe with all my heart that Jesus not only died, but He rose again, and He's alive. So Lord, come into my life afresh. I surrender to you. And with your help, from this day forward, I will live for you and fulfill the destiny that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Amen.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.